Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was kind of like call day for those disciples in the upper room that night, the night before Jesus died, as he sought to prepare them for their new life and the ministry which would soon begin for them. Jesus had much to say to them. It took five chapters of the Gospel of John to relate it all to it, probably a whole lot longer than the notorious 35-minute call day sermon that was preached here a few years ago. At the center of the sermon, Jesus used this familiar imagery, the vine and the branches. Now grapes and wine and vines and vine dressers and the appropriate care of a vineyard was all part of the culture of those days. The disciples would have seen this time of year as the grapevines quickly grew in rapid motion and blossoms began to develop. And they would have watched as the tiny little grapes began to mature into heavy clusters. And in the fall, the harvesters would come in, gather up all the grapes and carry them to the wine press. And the rich purple grape juice would begin to flow. And it was quickly bottled, put into new wineskins and jars in order to ferment into precious wine. And every winter, during the dormant season, the branches got pruned, severely pruned. As much as 90% of the branches got cut away so that only a few healthy buds remained on the trunks of the grapevines. The disciples all knew something about growing grapes. And they likely also knew something about how this imagery was used in the Old Testament. For example, the words of the prophet Isaiah, who wrote, "My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines and looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." Now, Jesus had told at least five parables about vineyards. He performed his first miracle, changing water into wine. So the disciples probably wouldn't have been surprised when he used the imagery that night. Earlier in the evening, he had taken a cup of wine and held it before them. And he consecrated it along with the bread. And he distributed it to them as he instituted the sacrament that we're celebrating once again today. And then came the sermon. He told them that he was going away, and where he was going, they wouldn't be able to follow. He was soon going to be sending them out on their own. He commanded them to love one another as he had loved them. He told them about being servants and even slaves. And he told them that they were going to be doing the works that he had done, and even greater works. Put yourself in their place. Can you imagine how the tension must have been growing in the room that night as they were trying to take all of this in? So many questions, so many doubts, so many fears. But he told them not to be troubled, not to be afraid, because he would never, ever leave them alone. He would send them another helper, the Holy Spirit. And in a unique kind of way, he would always be there for them and with them. But the disciples would have been very surprised when Jesus, in the midst of this text, said, "I am the true vine." Another of his great "I am" sayings, revealing himself once again as the great I am, who had called Moses from a burning bush and sent him out on an impossible mission to set God's people free and to lead them to the promised land. He revealed himself as Yahweh, the Lord. "I am," Jesus said, "I am the vine. And you are the branches. He promised a continuing, powerful, life-giving, life-staining relationship with them. 8 times in this lesson, he used the word abide, remain, live, stay connected to me, and I will live in you. He wasn't about to abandon his disciples, no matter what was about to happen to them, no matter how bad things seemed to be, no matter what was going to happen to them either. They'd still be connected. They'd have his life. They'd have his power at work within them. And then he added, and my father is the vine dresser who so loved the world that he sent the vine and fertilized it and pruned it and did absolutely everything necessary for it to produce a bountiful harvest. The vine dresser expected the branches to bear fruit. And so his father expected a godly life, a productive ministry. And today on this call day, we're reminded that that's what our Heavenly Father expects of all of us as well. To bear fruit, obviously, goes without saying, doesn't it? That a branch needs to stay connected to a vine. If a branch is broken off, it quickly nourishes and shrivels. It no longer receives the moisture, the nourishment that it needs to produce any fruit, much less stay alive. You and I and the ministry that we're called and sent to do are totally dependent upon Jesus. Get that first and foremost in your mind. Jesus said, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You, fellow Christian, you, future pastor, vicar, deaconess, intern, you can do nothing. There's no fruit, no life, no ministry, nothing apart from Jesus. And then Jesus warned, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll bear even more fruit. Now, pruning is a critical part of raising grapes. And that's the hard part of this ministry for us to understand. The branches all get pruned. There's deadwood that needs to be cut out. Besides looking bad and being unproductive, it's in the deadwood that the rot begins to develop and the pesticide that can do damage to the entire vine. Dead grape wood is absolutely worthless, and so, as Jesus said, it's cut out and burned up. Word of caution here. I strongly advise you against using those words in describing anyone within your congregation. Even those who have seemingly cut themselves off from Jesus, those who seem to despise God's word and refuse the nourishment of the Lord's Supper. It's true, without Jesus, they cannot produce the fruits of a Christian life. And it's also true that they can do all kinds of damage to their fellow Christians because their attitude, their apathy can be infectious. Be aware of them. Be patient with them. Warn them of what this means. But remember that the vine dresser is the one who does the pruning. There are other branches that look healthy. They produce all kinds of beautiful green foliage, but no fruit. The vine dresser isn't interested in foliage. He wants the fruit. God isn't interested in outward appearances. He fully expects you to love and worship him and him alone. He expects you to love and serve your neighbor. He expects you to manage all of your life for his saving purposes as a good steward. There's a warning here for you and me. The leafy, showy, flashy, unproductive branches get pruned. But then so do the productive branches. They get pruned so that they'll produce even more. This may be the hardest part of the imagery of all for us to understand, how God would possibly prune the faithful. But he removes everything from us that keeps us from living for him. Whenever we get ourselves too tightly twisted around the things of this world, the non-essential things, things that have no lasting value, he prunes us. And he rearranges our priorities and changes our attitudes. And once again, he helps us to see what's truly important so that everything in our lives can be put into faithful living, productive ministry. Martin Luther once imagined what it was like for the grapevines, how they might feel about the care that the vine dresser gives to them. He imagined the branches complaining about all the manure that's dumped around it, being afraid that the vine dresser doesn't really understand what he's doing, how any of this care could possibly be for good. Branches can't understand how this is all part of the vine dresser's good care. Doesn't that sound like us during the past year? Complaining that God could dump so much on us, afraid that God might lop off more than we care to lose, groaning, complaining, when we can't understand how all of this could be for our own spiritual good. And especially today, on call day, as the anxieties and the uncertainties and the questions and the fears of this day seem to take over, does God really know what he's doing? Jesus' words are meant to comfort and assure us today. Yes, the vine dresser knows exactly what he's doing. He truly knows what's best for you. It's all for your good, for your continued growth, for your faithful service. Remember that it was in holy baptism when you were first connected. St. Paul says you were united in Christ Jesus. His death became your death. His resurrection is your resurrection. His life is your life. His love and his forgiveness and his spirit is at work in you. You're a branch. He's the vine. Abide in him. As we said, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. But connected, living, abiding in Jesus, clinging to the vine, you can grow and become a productive branch. You can live the godly life. You can fulfill your ministry, and that ministry will be productive. The fruit will come. Jesus promised, "Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit." Much fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. As you Christian, you future pastor, deaconess, vicar, intern, as you remain in Jesus, as you remain in his word and sacrament, as you remain connected to him, you will grow and you will mature, and your productivity will increase. And your ministry will be productive. You'll bear much fruit. That's what Jesus is promising to all of his disciples and to all of us today. And today in the Lord's Supper, this wine and bread, Jesus reconnects with you and me. His body, his blood, his very life is here for you. His forgiveness, his power, his grace, his promises. He will produce that blessed life, that blessed ministry in you. You're the branch. He's the vine. Abide in him. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Would you please rise for the sermon hymn?